Today is October 10th, 2018, and this is episode number 483 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I am Brian Chaffin. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/context machine. Oh, wait a minute. Did I have a title?
I'm still waiting to hear your title.
Yeah. Well, I'm a happy vector wrangler.
Oh, great.
That was supposed to be my title. I don't know how I forgot it, but yeah, I got my vector yesterday from Anki, the little robot-y thingy.
Those are so cool. I have the Cosmo, which is
the bigger version. Yeah.
No, they're about the same size. Fits right in the palm of your hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Same size. I love
mine's just newer and better.
Yours is newer and better. Although you could also say it's just different. Because yours has the whole brain inside its little body. Whereas mine has to rely on my iPhone or iPad for part of its processing power.
I accept your apology.
And I just want to point out that I'm probably doing cooler things with my Cosmo than you are with your vector.
Yeah, that's probably true because I haven't done anything with mine yet. I got it yesterday and I've just been too busy to... Like I took it out of the box, and I've been too busy to set it up. So now what I got, I don't think I told you this, but I got the little playpen. Did you see that?
Yeah.
There's a tray. It's like a sort of like a tray. And if and you can put the charging station in this thing, and basically Vector will stay within its confines. And as messy as my desk is, I really thought that was probably a good idea. But the funny thing about that is that I'm going to have to clean up my desk enough, my enormous desk, I'm going to have to clean it up enough to make room for the pen.
Now, I know how big your desk is, so I understand exactly what you're saying, the magnitude of what you were saying. Yeah, you have a big desk. There's a lot of stuff on it. You know, if you don't use the playpen, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, I'm just saying if you don't, it will go to the edge of the desk and stop.
This is true. What I'm worried about though is it getting lost amongst the stuff.
You know, I totally get it.
Excuse me. Sorry, I had a little cough.
No, I get it. I'm curious to see how you use your vector. Because if you start using it in interesting ways, maybe I'll need to get a vector to go along with my Cosmo. And what would be cool is if I could make them play together.
Oh! You can make them battle.
They seem too gentle and kind to battle. I do play games with my Cosmo because it comes with these little cubes and so you can do like reaction games. If your cube lights up one color, you tap it. If it's a different color, you don't. And but you both are trying to tap at the same time to be the fastest. Anyhow, they're very cool. I'm assuming that you can do a lot of programming with Vector in the same way you can with Cosmo. There's an app that you need to go get, and it's called Tickle.
And the problem is
the name is so completely bad because when you search for Tickle, you're going to find a lot of things that are very much not a coding platform for your product.
Yeah.
But it has like a little orca whale thing, which I know are actually porpoises. But it has an orca as part of its little icon. That's the one you want. And it gives you this graphic kind of drag and drop with building blocks, coding environment. And it's really cool. So you can do a lot of stuff with your new little friend.
That makes sense. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, You may not know this, but right now, as you and I are speaking, John Keat is messing with you in our little message chat group.
You know, I saw little messages popping up, but I haven't been reading them.
I turned off notifications for his groups a long time ago. You're a braver man than me, I guess.
I should probably turn off. Well, the only place I have the notifications is on my desktop.
Ah.
That's right.
Yeah, fair enough. Get a little less in the way there. All right.
I just gave him some tough love.
We have topics.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking about?
Yeah, and Vector is not one of them, although I'm pretty excited about it. By the way, Vector was launched through Kickstarter, and they basically arrived on Kickstarter backers' doors yesterday. I think they're shipping on the 16th or later this month to other people. I think that's how that works.
So
you still waiting for the topics?
No, I got distracted by John.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I should have realized that. So you be distracted. I'll tell you that our first topic is some cockamamie idea you have about whether or not the as yet unannounced new iPad Pro could be a Mac replacement.
Here's the idea that I have. The processors that we're getting in the Macs, in the iPads, are powerful enough that you can drive a computer with them, like a laptop computer as opposed to a tablet computer.
Yep.
And this new iPad Pro is supposedly going to have a USB-C port, so you can connect a big external display to it. Of course, it'll also support an external keyboard because Bluetooth. And I'm wondering, what if they added mouse support to it? At this point, is this a device that could replace a laptop or small desktop computer for a larger number of people?
First of all, Apple's not going to add mouse support.
No, they're not. But Apple Pencil support for many people could replace that. I'm not saying it's a perfect solution.
No, I'm gonna poop all over that, man. I'm gonna poop all over that because you know what? There is a time and place for touch. I spend a lot of time on my. Let's just look. Let's see how much time I spend on my iPad Pro. So I've got the iPad Pro 9.7 inch. Mm-hmm. What's it called? What's the app called?
Screen time? Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah. Screen time. Yeah. Is it two words or one word?
Two words.
Two words.
It's screen in settings.
Time. Screen time view. Oh, so it is, right. It is in settings, right. Screen time. Yes, of course. Screen time. Screen time. Screen time. Where is my report? Where's my report? Give me my report.
Okay. So
there we go. 2 hours and 14 minutes. That's today. And admittedly, my today is weirdly measured because weird today. Last 7 days, 3 hours a day. So I'm averaging 3 hours a day on my iPad Pro. I clearly enjoy my iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I clearly enjoy it. Do a lot of reading, do a lot of stuff on it. And I know that there's plenty of people for whom touch devices, their iPhone, their iPad, you know, it does all the things, and maybe they don't even need a computer anymore. I get that. I get that it's going to work for a lot of people, but there is a lot of productivity and a lot of to-doing that is far superior with the keyboard and mouse. And even a physical keyboard with a Apple Pencil is no replacement for a keyboard and mouse or trackpad, unless you are like drawing or something like that. Because picking up the pencil and positioning in your hand and going to use it is a lot different from just like reaching over and grabbing your mouse. So no, I do not, but it may well become a more of a replacement device for more people, but it is not the ultimate replacement device yet.
All right. So here's how I'm using my iPad Pro not in this moment, because as it turns out, which I know you'll end up latching onto because it totally supports your argument, I'm not using it right now because I can't podcast from an iPad. But like when I go out and about and I'm doing stuff, say in a coffee shop, I can sit with my iPad Pro in front of me using the smart keyboard cover thing, and I can be in split screen mode, and I can be working on email and writing something at the same time. And I can hop over to Affinity Photo and edit graphics, and I can do so many of the things that I do on my Mac today that I can see a point where I could actually use an iPad Pro as a primary computer. And the features that we're looking at for this, the reported features we're looking at for this new iPad Pro that's coming out, man, I think that gets me a lot closer to a day where that can be my primary computer. Now, for someone who doesn't have the same level of needs that you and I have, because, I mean, we use our computers hard.
Well, hold on. We use our computers differently than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm not going to say hard. I mean, yeah, I guess I'm pushing my, let's see. Anyway, go ahead, please. I'm like rabbit holing off of semantics.
That's all right.
Hashtag Brian.
We're going to mostly pedantic. We're going to roll with what I'm saying. We're both serious power users. We use our computers pretty hard. And there are a lot of people that they use their computer a lot, but they don't have the specialized needs that we have. I think that an iPad Pro that's a little more powerful than what we have today, something that doesn't require, when you're like in the middle of working, as much on-screen touching, or at least lifting your hands up to break the plane, like having to do Touch ID and stuff, I think that could be a computer that replaces a laptop or a desktop for a lot of people, especially with external display support. So you can get an even bigger screen when you're sitting at your desk. I'm picturing a scenario right now where you plug in a cord to your iPad Pro when you get home, and it's now charging, it's doing video out, and it wakes up your Bluetooth keyboard, and at that point, you kind of need to have some sort of mousing surface. Maybe the iPad Pro serves as a mousing surface.
You mean like using your iPad Pro as an old Qualcomm device? Qualcomm. Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I'm assuming you mean Wacom.
Thank you. Oh, my God. LOL at me, for sure. Wacom, yeah, like an old Wacom device.
Or a new Wacom tablet. They still make them.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I know you're not on board with this. I don't know what my resistance is, Jeff, but to be honest. Like I said, I'm spending a lot of time on my iPad. Now, most of that time is reading. Right. Mm-hmm. I read all my books are iBooks. I guess it's just called books now. And so I read, I spend a lot of time reading. I love playing Boggle with Friends. Okay. Or as Mrs. Hill on the cartoon ladies would call it Baggle. No, the other. Anyway, sorry, rabbit hole. I'm like a step away from Fish on Ally McBeal saying bygones to like wipe away something that
is like you are Mr. Rabbit Hole today.
I am, but it's lack of sleep. So anyway, Boggle of Friends. I'm playing a lot of Boggle of Friends. I'm playing a lot of Googly Loop. I'm playing a lot of Solitaire. I'm reading a lot. I also read a lot of news on my iPad Pro. I clearly enjoy consuming. I enjoy playing games. I enjoy consuming words. with my iPad Pro. But I just cannot imagine choosing to work on my iPad Pro unless I had to.
And I find my iPad Pro a very easy tool to work on. And and just to be clear, when I'm working on my iPad Pro, I'm probably writing. So that means Ulysses, which is auto-syncing back to my Mac. And I might be doing some graphic editing, which means Affinity Photo, which can also sync right back to my Mac. And then I'll be doing communication. So the various chat services, email, social networks, stuff like that. And I found that it can be surprisingly efficient for those things, so much so that I've taken to having mail and Twitter in split view, where like one third of the screen is Twitter and the rest of the screen is mail. So I can do multiple communication things at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm really curious what it is that has you resistant to an iPad being a primary computer.
I need to manipulate my cursor a lot, and I don't want to reach out and touch my device to do it. It's so imprecise. It's so incredibly imprecise.
I will grant you that. That can be a very frustrating process.
And I don't like I love Apple Pencil. Like, and if I could draw my, and please let's not start saying anything good about my drawing. If I could draw my way out of a wet paper bag, I would use my Apple Pencil all the time.
I love your drawings. I said it. It's out there. I said it. I love your drawings. Your drawings are awesome. They're so fantastic.
There was a world difference between drawing and doing any kind of cursor manipulation in terms of image placement, jumping around in a within any kind of text. Like precisely placing your cursor in text on an iOS device sucks balls, and not in the good way. It's just awful.
Sorry, I'm still stuck there.
And but that yes. is what I do with the majority of my time is right. I'm working with words, but I would think the same thing would be true if I was working with spreadsheets. I would think that the same thing would be true if, I was doing a lot of coding. Of course, that's words. Really, it's working with words too. Mm-hmm. But by the way, another rabbit hole. Quick shout out, and I'm right now as we speak. Hurricane Michael is bashing Florida, so you know our thoughts and good vibes, positive thoughts out to everyone that is affected by Michael.
Yes, please stay safe.
Indeed. I mean, they're probably not listening to us at this particular moment.
But they'll listen to us later and they'll be like, oh, wow, they were thinking of us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like seriously thinking about you guys. And I've got like right now I've got like headlines that keep coming through on my Apple Watch related to the hurricane as we're recording.
Wow.
So, you know, very much on our minds.
Yes. All right. Cursor manipulation.
Cursor manipulation.
I use the keys, the arrow keys, a lot, which this will probably surprise you. I do on my Mac too. If I have to take my hand off my keyboard,
yeah.
I'm less efficient.
For sure. That is true. And there are certainly times, you know, if you're just going around a little bit, but like scrolling and all these things, those things are easier with a trackpad or a mouse. I personally use Logitech's, what's it called? The MX Master 2S is the version I've got. And I love that thing. But, you know, people who are trackpad fans, you know, there's just so much about manipulating content that is easier with a keyboard and mouse or a keyboard and trackpad. And iOS is not built for that. And I said that I don't think Apple's going to add support for a mouse, because that's not like iOS is not geared towards mouse work. It's geared for touch work.
Yes. Yeah. It's totally geared for touch work. Yep. And yet I find myself trying to find reasons to use my iPad instead of my Mac.
That's great. I'm delighted. I'm delighted. And I'd love to hear from people who have an opinion on this, especially if they think that I'm wrong.
It's now when I'm sitting at my desk, I use my technology and I interact with the things that I'm working on in a very different way than I do when I'm on my iPad. And maybe that's part of the reason I want to use my iPad so much, because when I'm on my Mac, I will have so many windows open, different applications, different documents that it causes John Martellaro stress, even when he doesn't see my screen. He doesn't like the overlapping thing. Another rabbit hole, whatever. I will occasionally take a screenshot of my desktop and just send it to John. Because I'm horrible like that. I am a bad person.
You're in fact a very bad.
That's a horrible thing for me to do.
Bad person. And John is like the best person.
He is. He really is.
So like you take you and me. I'm pretty awful. You're pretty darn good. But you like take the both of us, and then like John is like 1,000 times better than you and I could ever hope to be. Better human being.
Yeah. And he puts up with us.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Yeah.
But
I wouldn't do it.
Who can blame you?
Exactly.
Yeah. But okay, when I'm using my iPad, I tend to be working in a more focused way. So if I'm writing, I am just writing. And then I will jump over, check my email and Twitter, and then jump back to writing. And yeah, I find that I'm interacting with everything I have to do in a very different way on my iPad. Maybe that's part of the reason why I want that to be a primary computing device.
Yeah. Would you write? Like, let's say you were going to go to CES. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically. Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, of course.
Hypothetically. You're going to go to CES again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, would you make your next CES trip with just an iPad? Assuming you were going to CES, would you make it and not take your laptop?
No, but that's because I would also have to podcast.
Well,
if I did,
I accept your apology.
I knew that's the thing you would latch onto, but that's because I know you. But if podcasting wasn't part of the whole thing, then I could very likely get by with my iPad Pro. All the video stuff that I do just from an iPhone. Like seriously, recording, editing, and publishing, I do it all on an iPhone. And everything else could be done with the Photos app, with Affinity Photo, with Ulysses. Those would be my primary tools right there. I could conceivably work at a major conference like CES without a Mac if I didn't have to podcast. I know, it's kind of crazy.
Would you though? Would you choose to do that?
Probably.
Let's take a podcast. Let's go ahead and even just let's cheat. Let's take podcasting out of it. Would you leave your laptop at home?
Probably not for CES if it was the first time I was doing it. I would pick a different conference as a test.
Okay,
and if so it worked okay, then yeah.
Well, what do you? All right, let's. So, taking podcasting out of it, which again is cheating. You took your laptop because you're chicken poop. Mm-hmm. What are the chances do you think it would not leave its bag and be turned on?
I think if I brought my laptop as a backup because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get stuff done.
Chicken poop.
I like to think of it as covering one's bases.
With chicken poop. Yep, got it. Go ahead.
I think that my laptop would probably stay in the bag pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, all right. That's interesting. That is interesting. And I love the fact that I can work. And I have typed up articles on my iPad Pro. Actually, probably with the iPad Air before that, for sure. But in those cases, I didn't have to manipulate images and like file manipulation and stuff like that. That's another thing. That's another thing that's not great on iOS, even with the Files app.
That's true. Speaking of doing stuff on your iPad, my review for the Apple Watch, and what was the big review I wrote up before that? Isn't that funny? It was another Apple thing where we needed to have a big review. iOS 12.
Yes, of course.
I wrote those starting in Omni Outliner on my iPad, both of them, and then took them over into Ulysses so that I could work more on final edits. And then it wasn't until I was done with all that that I actually took the files over to my Mac. So I wrote both of those reviews, which are both, what, around 3,000 words, maybe?
Yeah, they're huge.
Those were both done on an iPad Pro. Huh. I know. Crazy. But also really cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure cool. All right. Well, love to hear from people on this. Facebook.com/group/contextmachine. Email at acm@macobserver.com, on Twitter, Context Machine, or, you know, TM, what am I? I don't want to overload people, but I'm TM O'Brien and you're Jay Gamut. Is that right?
Yep.
Love to hear from people. Love to not hear from this jet. Do you hear the jet outside? I think it's right outside my house.
I'm assuming they're just circling because they want to listen and hear what amazing things we have to say.
Yeah, probably. That's probably it. All right. So we have another topic. Believe it or not, can you believe it? We have two topics so far.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Right. So you pitched me, I forget how you pitched this, but basically here's the thing. Apple TV as a gaming platform is a failure and should have been a big, huge, raging success. Discuss.
All right. So what brought me down this path was the whole thing with Minecraft for Apple TV getting canceled on September 24th and no one noticed. Like, I mean, you could still play it, but no one was talking about how the game was pulled from the Apple TV App Store, how there weren't going to be any more updates, and the only way you could play it on your Apple TV is if you had already installed it, and you would get this big splash screen that, saying, hey, this isn't supported anymore, so you're on your own with the kids. No one was talking about it until it became a thing in a Twitter thread a day or two ago. So we went, 2 weeks without people even realizing that Minecraft on Apple TV was kind of a dead thing.
Which may actually be a reflection of Minecraft on Apple TV as opposed to gaming on Apple TV. That's possible.
It's possible,
but even that is sort of a reflection of the fact that Apple has just dropped the ball on Apple TV gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like utterly dropped the ball.
And I think they dropped the ball when they first announced gaming for Apple TV. This looked like a platform that could be really big for gamers. I mean, you weren't going to see the really high-end, graphics-heavy stuff like
Call of Duty.
Thank you.
Yeah, things like that.
It shows you how much I play.
For sure. But the majority of gaming is casual gaming, as far as I know.
Yeah,
I can't actually back that up with any stats, but
well,
it feels right, and I think that that's the only thing that matters these days.
And I would be inclined to agree with you because that's my personal experience. So we'll wrap it around me this time. I noticed early on that we didn't have the Lego games, which seemed really weird to me because that is the Lego games are just huge, and it seemed like the perfect platform to be able to play Lego Star Wars, Lego Batman, Lego whatever. And we never saw any of those things.
Go ahead. Sorry, finish your thought.
All right. So initially, I believe it's because Apple put the restriction of every game must be playable with the Apple remote. And instead of loading up massive amounts of files on your Apple TV, you had to have like a core launcher app that would then pull the resources over the internet. So you'd essentially download the game every time you played it.
Right, which is just awful. But I mean, like, you know, what else are you going to do when there's no storage?
Yeah. And
so you know, that's kind
Yeah, but Apple lifted both those restrictions. But I don't think it mattered because they hobbled the platform from the beginning. And by the time that they chose to lift those restrictions, the game market had moved on and left Apple behind, at least Apple TV.
At least Apple TV, yeah. Yeah, the iPhone and iPad are certainly still major gaming devices. The thing is that the right move out of the gate would have been for Apple to either create a set of standards that controller devices had to meet, or better yet, done what it took to work out agreements with companies that were making Bluetooth, Xbox and or PlayStation controllers to work. Like, do what it takes. Mm-hmm. Pay whatever you got to pay to whomever you got to pay to allow those controllers that are already in people's houses work with Apple TV.
Right. And instead, they said, hey, here's this other controller that does work, and you're going to have to spend, what was it, $50, $60?
It depends on the controller, right?
There was a specific one that Apple was promoting, and they sell it in Apple stores still, but it wasn't something people had, so they couldn't use the controllers they already owned. They had a platform where the games just weren't coming because developers weren't interested in the restrictions.
Well, yeah, the Apple TV remote is a crappy remote, let alone a game controller. It's just ridiculous. It's a crappy remote.
Yeah, the only reason I have my Apple TV remote out is so that occasionally when I come across something where the only way I can actually manipulate it is from that remote,
use your Apple TV?
Yeah, for my Apple TV.
Yeah, how do you normally control your Apple TV?
I have a Harmony remote.
Okay. Got it.
And so there's some stuff that you can't do from the Harmony remote. But so few things that... Well, I charged up my Apple remote the other day because I got the little notice on the TV screen. Hey, your battery is getting low.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure the last time I charged it was when I got my Apple TV.
Well, they do hold it. I use mine a lot and they do hold a charge for a long time.
Yeah. But what I'm talking about is years now. What? At least 2 years?
Oh, I see. That's funny.
Yeah.
I use my Apple TV remote a lot because all my TV is going through Apple TV at this point. Mm-hmm. And so this is definitely spoken from use and not like something I remember. This device is a terrible remote. It's a terrible game controller. It was a stupid restriction to place on it. Apple TV could have become the casual TV gaming platform of the developed world. It could have.
Yes. If Apple had played this out differently, I would have rebought all the games that I play on. Seriously, I still have my Wii. And yeah, I would have bought the games for Apple TV and played them there. And I am totally happy with my gaming experience outside of Apple TV, because it works on my ancient Wii with my Lego games and a couple other things. And yeah, I think Apple totally blew it with Apple TV as a gaming platform.
Now, the interesting thing is that there's probably something Apple could do to change that. I don't know what that something is, but if Apple put a concerted effort into making Apple TV a legit gaming platform or a successful gaming platform,
they could Apple's still do it. That.
But Apple's really bad at games. Apple's always been bad at games. Apple has done the best with games on iPhone and iPad. And in many ways, I would even say that Apple has done really well with those devices despite itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's developers and consumers that have made iOS such a successful platform. It's just, and that same thing didn't happen with Apple TV. Apple has never grokked games or the importance of gaming. Well, actually, you know, they've had people within Apple that do, but it seems like they were always stymied from doing what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There you have it. It's a self-inflicted wound. It is still potentially fixable, solvable, savable, but I don't think it will. I don't think it will ever happen.
I don't think it will either. And it's too bad, because that could have become my TV gaming platform of choice. But instead, what will probably happen is when my Wii eventually dies, if I can play the discs that I have on whatever the new thing is at the time, I will probably just buy that and keep playing what I have. Or maybe I'll find like a used old Xbox or something. And I am so not the person that game makers like.
Yeah, that's true. You and I. Yeah, I'm much more likely to play a game and to want to play a game on my, you know. Okay, so the thing I was almost interrupted you with earlier. Did you see the Fortnite sketch on SNL? I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, a couple of weekends ago.
No, but I'm betting I need to look this up on YouTube.
It's very funny. The idea being that a parent drops into a group, to a squad, because, you know, these squads are randomly assembled, right? Mm-hmm. And the parent has no idea what to do, and then they've got other SNL actors who are playing the game characters. And so the game character that is for the parent is like, you know, standing at a wall, bumping into it, jumping up and down, you know, and then like learns how to dance. It's extremely funny. It's very well done, and it's funny simply because it's accurate, right? And that is me with a TV game controller. I've never, like, I am so awful. I am so awful with a TV game controller. It is ridiculous how bad I am with the TV game controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm much happier playing a game on my Mac or playing a game on my iPad. And then thirdly on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that does probably color a lot of what we're saying. But there you have it.
Yeah. Yep. I have a couple games that I bought for Apple TV because they look so cool. And I stopped playing them because it was such a pain to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it means Apple isn't getting my Apple TV gaming money.
No, probably. Well, they are. The Apple is developers that aren't getting your money. Apple, I guess, isn't getting its 30%, but you already have the Apple TV. You're just not using it for gaming.
I'm not using it for gaming. Nope. But it is my primary TV viewing tool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rightio. What's our timestamp here, buddy?
We are at 40 minutes exactly.
Oh, wow. How funny. Huh. Who knew?
Yeah, it would have been cooler if it had been 42 minutes exactly.
Yep. Life, the universe, and everything. Mm-hmm. So, iPhone driver's license. This is our third topic. Keeping your driver's license on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is apparently becoming more of a thing.
Yeah. Iowa, as I recall, is one of the first places, maybe the first place in the United States, that offered a digital driver's license option.
Okay.
And I think it's a great idea.
Oh, I know why. I know why we're talking about this. We got a letter.
Oh, well, we need to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, writer on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. He actually emailed us. And he said, many of the podcasters I listen to seem to be very excited about having their driver's license on their smartphone. This is what he said to us in an email. And then he said, I would just like to raise one item which I have not heard mentioned. If you mm-hmm. use your smartphone for your ID, you will have to hand your smartphone unlocked to law enforcement who will walk away to their car's computer system with your smartphone unlocked.
And I totally get the concern. I don't like handing my phone to anyone. When I go to the theater after having bought tickets through Fandango and I need to do the barcode to scan, when they try and take my phone out of my hand, I don't let them. I have them turn their little scanner so I can aim the phone for them. And that's just...
You're talking about it at a retail setting.
Yeah, I'm talking in a retail setting. Yeah, okay.
Setting. But we're talking about law enforcement here, buddy.
Yes, and what I'm saying is I'm not comfortable letting the retail person that's in my personal space hold my iPhone. Why would I let someone walk away with it and take it back to their patrol car? And the thing is, you don't have to. The systems are designed so they have the police have a scanner so that they can scan your screen. You don't give them your phone.
Feldekarp!
I love when we get to use sci-fi naughty words.
So here's the thing. So there are systems, you're saying that there are systems being devised so that they can scan these.
Right. So they don't walk away with your phone. It doesn't have to leave your possession.
They don't have to walk away with my phone. Go ahead. Let me fix that for you.
And
but they could choose to.
Well, if and that they have were the guns case,
and badges.
I would now have a problem. So if a police officer said, I need to take your phone back to my car so that I can use my little scanner for your driver's license, we now have a situation. I'm not going to turn into some vigilante, but my phone's not going without me.
I have even an issue with them. Let's say that they're plugging it in. Is that what you tell me?
No, they scan it. They don't plug anything in. They scan the screen.
All right. Well,
connection into your phone.
But let's say, however, you know, what's that freaking company? The Gray Box guys.
Yeah, the Gray Box guys.
Slimy. Turd burglars are us. Is that what they're?
Something, but they're already done. they said, "Screw it, we're not making boxes anymore."
All right, good.
Yeah, but they're still Cellebrite.
Yes, and there probably will be other companies. So, if law enforcement were to get a device that they could plug in and slurp up the contents of your unlocked phone, there would be some police agencies who would do so.
Of course. Human nature is if you have a tool that's supposed to be used for something good or innocuous, someone will find a way to abuse that.
Yeah. Do not forget that. And I am not opposed to law enforcement. I happen to like living in a place with law and order. Mm-hmm. Right. So I am not anti-law enforcement by any stretch of the imagination, but please do not forget that all across the country right now, there are police departments, state police departments, county law enforcement departments, et cetera, who are using an aspect, I think it was of the Patriot Act, that allows them to seize cash from people who were pulled over without cause, without probable cause. And then you have to prove that you legally own that cash. This is a thing. This is a thing that's happening in the United States of America.
That's horrible.
Did you know about this?
Yes. And even hearing you say it, I'm still just as appalled as the first time I heard this.
It is one of the most radically un-American, unconstitutional things happen. One of the radically unconstitutional things that is happening in this country. And it's been going on for years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the Patriot Act. I could be wrong about that, but I believe this was, and it's this case where law enforcement has been able to successfully interpret this is not what the statute, or I don't even know the wording of the law. I don't even know exactly what to call it, but the purpose of the thing that they are using was not for this, but it has been turned to this because that's what happens.
And that's a problem. It's a horrible problem. I mean, that's criminal. That's a violation of our constitutional rights. And
it's up to you to prove that you should be able
to write laws that negate the Constitution. That's the purpose of the Constitution. It's to limit the government.
It is. So if there are plenty of law enforcement agencies who would happily slurp up and store the contents of your phone in case they need them someday, if you got pulled over for something that was legitimate, or if you just, you know, if you get pulled over, whatever. And that is a disturbing thought to me. In addition to that, the protection that you have of your phone to require your passcode, if you turn it back on, if you turn it off so that it's then turned, but it then needs to be turned back on. Mm-hmm. If you're handing your phone over, your phone is turned on.
Right.
So you can't have shut your phone off.
And
again, I'm not worried about anything that's on my phone. This is a matter of principle to me. I do not think that the law enforcement should be able to go fishing on your phone looking for some law that you may have broken.
I agree. There's no scenario where I can justify a cop just taking someone's phone and going through its contents. If that's something you need to do, then there needs to be probable cause. Yep. And if you have probable cause, then you get a warrant. There you go. Simple as that. Now, a scenario where I have a digital driver's license and I have to put my phone into a police officer's hand, that's not a scenario where I would be comfortable having a digital driver's license.
And listen, I would not blame any cop who pulls you over and does not want you holding the phone while they're looking at it, that they prefer to hold it themselves. I wouldn't blame them for that. I don't know if, you know, I don't know what the law would have to say about that.
I totally get it. I mean, I appreciate the need for officer safety because these are people that are supposed to be there to protect us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to help us. And what a lot of people don't realize is that every situation where a police officer shows up in the United States is a situation where you now have a gun involved, even though it may stay in their holster the whole time, but they need to protect that gun because it cannot fall into anyone else's hands, because now it becomes a really serious problem. So, I mean, there's a lot to balance here, but the idea of a digital driver's license where someone can take my phone, it's now out of my control, and there's the potential for that to be abused. I'm not comfortable with that. If it's a scenario where I hold up my phone, they take the little scanner and go bloop and read whatever code is there, and then it verifies the information, their scanner doesn't leave their hand, my phone doesn't leave my hand, I like that idea, because now my driver's license isn't something that can be stolen or lost, And I think it just makes managing my identity a lot easier.
So all right, here's the funny thing. I'm going on and on about this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm up on my soapbox. Mm-hmm. I've got my high horse. I am mounted on my high horse and I'm rearing and the high horse is standing on my soapbox.
Mm-hmm. You better have a high ceiling.
Yeah, I'm going to need one, but especially when I bump my head on it, because after all this, I've been carrying around my insurance ID card on my iPhone and not having a paper copy for years. So clearly, my practice is not meeting my rhetoric.
Yeah. Okay. So now here's the scenario to fit in with that.
That's kind of a reflection of the fact that all this is an issue of principle for me. I'm not actually worried about a police officer going through the contents of my phone because there's nothing on my phone that I'm worried about.
Yeah. No, it's totally a principle thing. It's like,
it's a principle
thing. I don't have anything in my bedroom drawers to hide, but I don't want the police just showing up and searching through my drawers. I have a constitutional right to privacy, and I have a constitutional protection for unreasonable search and seizure. Same thing with handing over my phone. I don't have anything to hide, but I want my constitutional rights protected.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I am very serious that I do not want the contents of my phone sitting around in umpteen and various police departments in case it needs to be rifled through sometime.
Mm-hmm.
That's not America. That's
not. Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that at all. Now, what about if you ended up in a fender bender? And the police show up to do their accident report and they say, all right, Mr. Chaffin, need to see your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance for the accident report. You pull out your physical card for your driver's license. You pull out the piece of paper for your car registration from the glove box or wherever it is that you keep yours. And now you have the card for your insurance on your phone. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm gonna have to show it.
Yes. Are you going to hand them your phone?
Oh, no. I would hold the phone for them, but I don't know what I would do if I was asked.
Yeah, and see, here's the problem, because
if I'm holding my phone for a police officer to look at it, that police officer has to be close enough to me that he's not necessarily in control.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day. So I had someone broke into my garage.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's
I didn't know this.
Really? I didn't tell you this.
No.
Yeah. They broke into my garage. The only reason I knew, they didn't take it. They took, $13, a $5 bill and about $8 and change that was in the console of my car. And here's what really makes me mad about this. They took the holder from my console. And the, you know, that's probably like a $500 replacement part, right? What? And so now I no longer have this container where I had change and I think a couple of pens and things like that. So like that makes me far madder than anything else. And the only reason here's how I knew that they broke into my house, broke into my garage, which is a standalone garage.
Mm-hmm.
There was a box. There was a case of poker chips that was on the ground. And I was wondering if we'd had an earthquake, like how did that fall?
Ah, okay.
And then, but then when I opened it, like nothing else was out of place. It turns out that they moved a sheet. I think I've got I have a drum set out in my garage and they'd moved a sheet to look underneath that. But other than that, I couldn't tell anything that they had disturbed or looked at or taken. But then the inside of my car had napkins that I had sitting in my console were pulled out and put on my seat. So I knew that they had broken into my car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh, okay, someone broke in. It turns out they broke into my neighbor. So what they did is they used a garage door spoofer.
Oh, yep.
And they used a car door spoofer also because my car was locked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my point. My point is that I'm talking to the police officer. I did file a police report. I was a good citizen.
Good.
Filed a police report. police officer came out and, you know, was taking notes and looking at things. And I'm standing right by this police officer. And I look over to the shelf to my left, and I had bought a hatchet. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing right by this police officer, and I picked up that hatchet. And I said, look, officer, they could have taken this. I'm standing right by this guy with a hatchet in my hand. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea, but he's probably been around long enough that he knows how to read people. And
Yeah, of course. And he had a, he had an excellent read on me. He was actually seemed really, really good at what he did. So anyway, my point is that like, I'm standing right in his space and I've got a weapon in my hand. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrible idea on my part, but it's also incredibly unfair to the police officer because, you know, I mean, that's a potential threat. And the same thing is true. And this is, you know, sorry for the rabbit hole, but the same thing is true. If you're standing close enough to a police officer for him or her to read your iPhone, well, that means that a good portion of their field of view is blocked. And that means that they have less control over the situation.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And that is bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, sorry about the long.
That's all right. I want to learn more about what's happening with digital driver's license, digital ID in states that are doing this, because it's, I mean, I've been saying I like the idea and then offering this very narrow set of circumstances where I'm comfortable with it. And I want to see how it's really working in the places that do that. And then what happens if you go to a state that doesn't recognize digital IDs and all you have is your driver's license on your phone?
Well, then, yeah, there are some reciprocity. Well, the reciprocity agreements are agreements, but there's some aspect of federal law that requires states to honor laws regarding driver's license, I think, from other states, right?
Yes.
You probably know more about this than I do.
Yes. But the thing is, how are these states going to deal with a digital ID when they don't have the means to directly verify that, like a little scanner? Are you now in a situation where, say, you go from Iowa to Colorado and you get pulled over at a stoplight and now the cop says, well, actually, I do need your phone because I need that ID so I can go back to my car and verify that it's actually legit. I see that as a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yes. What if each state has a different scanner? So,
right.
Yeah. There are a lot of problems with this. I like the idea and I totally accept that there's a lot of problems with how this could play out.
Yeah. You know, the real thing will be when, we all just have the chips embedded inside us.
Right. And now they have to take your arm back to the car to scan your chip.
Well, in my head, I was actually thinking that, you know, I'm thinking of like having an implant in your brain where you send your information that is digitally.
Oh, man. And I'm thinking about abuse of that, where you go to do a brain transfer for your ID information and they have a hack so that they can grab other thoughts from your brain at the same time.
Yeah. That is going to be a thing too. Someone should write a story about that.
Yeah. I saw a thing which I didn't read because I had more important things to do, like eat, where researchers have developed this thing where they can like hook people together with electrodes in some way. And they can, on some level, and I'm doing air quotes, read each other's thoughts.
Yeah.
So we're getting there.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
So yay, did we resolve?
Have you seen these new screensavers on Apple TV with TV OS 12?
Yeah.
They're really nice.
I am liking them. The yeah. stuff from the space station, I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, that's fun. I was just looking at there's one flying through a canyon with trees. Lots of vegetation.
There's some really nice, really nice screensavers on Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't even think I've seen all the new ones yet.
I definitely haven't. Because I keep getting fun surprises. So we never actually...
Be a great screensaver for Apple TV?
What?
Live weather data. Live weather satellite imagery. There's probably a bandwidth issue there, but...
That would be cool,
That would be a great screensaver. Matter of fact, that would actually be cool just to like deliberately leave on like as an app.
You know,
maybe there's an Apple TV app for that already.
There probably is. And now I'm going to.
Yeah, if anybody knows the one, please let us know.
Yeah, because I want to try it out. Back in the day when Nintendo still supported all the Wii services, they had a thing where you could have your local weather and news updates on your television and it'd play that really relaxing music thing. So that I did that a lot where I would just have the Wii turned on and let it give me my weather and news.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, word up. You were going to say something else about whether or not we resolve something? Because I know we were running out of time.
I totally forgot.
It's because I kept talking.
We got through the whole driver's license thing, and I think all we've established is that we might be uncomfortable with certain aspects of it.
Yes.
Also, that it totally sucks that there are people out there that are so self-centered and have this misguided sense of what they are owed, that they think it's okay to break into someone's property and steal things. That is just crappy. I have a serious problem with that.
The principle of that bothers me immensely.
Yeah, the self-entitlement, that's what I was trying to think of, that the sense of self-entitlement where they think it's okay to break into someone else's property and steal things.
Yeah, and don't take the cup. Like, have a bag ready. Dump the stuff. I mean, come on, man. That was just rude. Taking the cup from the console? Come on, man.
That's just bad planning on their part.
That's just rude. They don't need the cup. They're not going to do anything with my cup. Like if I could seriously find them, I would probably cause bodily harm in fury out of the principle of someone taking my stuff.
Yep. But, I totally get it.
But I'm like sitting here right now. I'm pissed that they took my cup. $13. I hate that they took my $13, but you know, I want my container back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I have a serious problem with people stealing.
Yeah,
likewise. Yeah.
All right,
we're over time, but I'm going to share this story with you anyhow before we wrap up. Years ago, I had these two lawn chairs on my front porch. Combined price was probably $15 or combined value. And one day, I go outside and my chairs are missing from my porch.
Okay.
I was furious because someone stole from me. I call the police and I file my report and people were like, you're crazy. It was a couple stupid lawn chairs from your front porch. But that wasn't the point. The point was someone stole from me. Also, if there are other thefts that are happening in the neighborhood, this helps the police establish the pattern and maybe get closer to catching the person.
Sure.
Fast forward about 10 months. I'm driving down the street and I had routinely been making jokes, driving past porches and seeing chairs going, ah, there's my chairs. And I drive past this one house and I stop and I said, there's my chairs. And I went up to the door because it was literally my chairs on this guy's porch.
Oh.
And I rang the doorbell and he opens the door and I said, where did you get these chairs? And he's like, from my next door neighbor's trash. Why? And I'm like, because they're mine. And I pointed out the little things that I knew about my chairs. And he's like, you should just take those. And I'm really sorry. And I got my chairs back. $15. But it wasn't about $15. It was about stealing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. That's all for my my personal vigilante stories for now.
Yeah.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
And I'm a Vector Wrangler. Wait, that was... that was earlier. All right. Let's see. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. You see, as long as I get a laugh out of you, that's what the purpose of the title is. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And thank you for making me laugh. And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Vector, vector, vector.